You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to learn everything you've ever wanted to know about acupuncture. Seriously, this episode's really on point. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. Today's guest is someone, well, there's no real way to say it other than I love this dude. James Rohr is my acupuncturist, which means he and his needles are where I go when I need to boost my immunity, get my digestion back on track, alleviate some anxiety, or even, as you'll hear, take a nap. Not only do I have deep respect and admiration for his work and just acupuncture in general. But as you'll notice, James totally breaks the mold of what you think of as a Chinese medicine healer. He is freaking funny. Half the time I'm with him, I'm cracking up on his table, nervous that I'm going to pop some needles right out of me. I'm fortunate, well, we're fortunate that James, who runs an acupuncture practice here in Brooklyn, but also has another one in Miami and used to be the head acupuncturist at Canyon Ranch, Miami Beach, gave us so much wisdom, time, and concrete reasoning behind this totally magical woo-woo WTF-seeming healing modality that is acupuncture. So James, thank you so much for being with me today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you about everything acupuncture. Let's just jump right into it. Please just lay it out there. What is acupuncture?
Acupuncture is like the greatest thing ever. And if your listeners haven't tried it, then they absolutely should.
Yeah.
Acupuncture is the use of one-time use sterile disposable needles into pressure points in the body to basically help people feel their best.
Now, why don't the needles hurt?
Yeah. So the needles are super small. So they're solid. So unlike most of the time when you think of a needle, you think of like giving blood or getting a shot. Mm-hmm. And those are hollow needles because they're either putting something in or taking something out. And our needles are very, very small and they're solids because we're not injecting you with anything. It's just the insertion of the needle. And some of the needles that we use are so thin that they're just like about the same thickness as a hair. And so, you know, when your acupuncturist is like, you know, knows what they're doing or when they're on point, you know, then it shouldn't hurt. There are certain times when it does hurt. And typically, if you do feel a little bit more sensation in a spot, that's an indication that that's where the energy is really stuck. So, you know, I encourage people, if they do have a little sensation, to not be afraid of it. You know, that sensation isn't necessarily a bad thing. But for the most part, yeah, people don't even notice it. I mean, I treat so many people for stress. And if getting a treatment was stressful, then I wouldn't be able to be very effective.
That is very true. And if it hurt, people wouldn't come back. And I'm sure, I mean, are your clients, I'm sure, always repeat clients. Like people, I mean, I've been getting acupuncture for 10 years and I wouldn't go back to something that hurt me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because usually people are drawn to an acupuncturist office because they have some sort of malady, you know, whether it's digestive issues or some type of pain, or maybe it's, you know, problems with their period. There's a whole bunch of things that we can treat. And then if you talk to people that continue to get acupuncture after that condition has been resolved, and you ask them, you're like, well, why do you still get acupuncture? Their answer will usually indicate, they'll usually say something along the lines of, well, I just generally like who I am when I'm getting acupuncture. Mm. And so, you know, I joke that it makes the fuse a little bit longer before we detonate, increasing patience and resilience. You know, people just generally like feeling more relaxed, feeling more optimistic, feeling better stamina, better range of motion. There's a whole host of things that go way beyond just what people walk in the door thinking they need treatment for.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that some people, or if not everybody listening, is living with an ailment that acupuncture could help with without even knowing it. I mean, I think a lot of people think that acupuncture is really great for pain. You know, you got pain in your shoulder or whatever, just pain, I think, is commonly associated with acupuncture, but it goes so far beyond that. I mean, I have gotten acupuncture for really intense digestive issues, emotional issues, anxiety. But I know, I mean, you can treat infertility, allergies, nausea, you know, as a side effect of chemotherapy and a whole, oh, I've gone to see you for immunity, you know, when I was really low and feeling, you know, like a sickness was coming on. So talk to me about some of those other things besides, you know, the basics that you can treat with acupuncture.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what I like to say is that if you're waking up or if your listeners or someone's waking up and they have the thought, you know, if only blank would feel better, then the quality of my life would improve significantly. Chances are acupuncture in Chinese medicine has a treatment for whatever that fill in the blank is. And that could be anything from, you know, depression, anxiety, fatigue, headaches. In New York here, I treat a lot of people with TMJ, with this jaw pain. Oh. You know, the stress is so high, people are clenching and grinding, and acupuncture is really phenomenal to help release some of the tightness there. You mentioned fertility. Certainly here in Williamsburg, we have a lot of pregnant women. So everything from trying to get pregnant to once they are pregnant, making their pregnancy more comfortable, easing, you know, delivery, all that stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. You know, if your appendix is about to explode, don't call me. I'm not the guy that you want on the job there, but certainly to help recover after any surgery, acupuncture can be great to help minimize the scar tissue, improve range of motion, and also to help treat the effects of being kind of laid up and laying, you know, not being able to exercise the way people want. You know, we can stimulate the endorphins and really get the head right and the energy flowing.
Right. I mean, acupuncture is pretty much for everything, and except for, like you said, like surgery type things. And it's just, it's almost like magic. I really feel like when I go see you, I'm just getting some magic done to me. So can you explain like how the F does acupuncture actually work? Because I'm sure there's plenty of people listening right now who are skeptical. I mean, most people, I think, are skeptical of acupuncture. I think the way it's presented on TV, like you and I were just talking, I just watched The Night Of, and the way that, you know, herbal healer was presented was like this woo-woo, like crazy guy. And, you know, that like it was just sheer luck that his herbs helped that dude's foot get better. But it's not sheer luck. It's not magic. It's real. And just, can you just tell us like how it works and abolish all those skeptical thoughts right now?
Sure. I'll do my best.
No pressure.
There's two, there's two ways to sort of look at that. And you know, how does acupuncture work? Well, we've got the traditional Chinese medicine perspective, and then there's the Western perspective. So I'll start with the traditional Chinese perspective because that's where this stuff comes from. Mm-hmm. The idea is that your body is full of energy. They call it qi, this life force. And the qi flows in meridians. These are pathways through the body that connect the energy flow up and down, left and right, inside and out. And the acupuncture needles go into these meridians, into places that are identifiable anatomical landmarks that we call acupuncture points. And the needles help to unblock that stuck energy. So when people don't feel well, even skeptics will recognize that sometimes it feels like something is stuck. You know, you have a muscle spasm, something feels blocked, you get butterflies in your stomach, or you have like a cramp in your stomach. It really feels like something is stuck or blocked there. And so the acupuncture needle helps to move that qi. We unblock that stuck energy to help encourage the normal flow. Mm. Now, Western medicine and people of the Western mind hate that kind of answer because it's very ambiguous and sort of, you know, magical sounding, this qi, this energy, this life force. If you cut someone open for an autopsy, you can't find a meridian. You can't grab it and be like, "Eureka, I found it." fortunately for us now, Western medicine has been doing a lot of research and trying to understand how acupuncture works. And the short answer is they haven't been able to identify one single thing that explains all of the effects that we see from acupuncture. But what they're finding is that it can create a little bit of local inflammation. So sometimes when there's an injury, the body forgets, almost seems to forget that it's injured. It just kind of like gives up on treating it. And so I think the acupuncture needles they do create a little bit of microinflammation there that are basically a way of signaling to the body, hey, we need to pay attention to this area again. Don't forget about it. Let's increase the blood flow, increase the circulation, bring some of the white blood cells to this area to help promote healing.
Right.
And so for people with like chronic injuries, I think that's a lot of how it goes, because, you know, it's like the body just stops paying attention. And so we're signaling to the body, hey, we got to come back and pay attention here. We're also finding that parts of the brain are stimulated with the acupuncture. So there was this great study that was done where they put people in an MRI machine and they turned all the lights off in the room, and then they turned the lights back on again. And what they found was, in the MRI machine, they looked at where the brain was responding to the light. So they were basically identifying the optical cortex of the brain. And then what they did is they kept the person in the MRI machine, they turned all the lights off again, and they stuck an acupuncture needle in the foot that's been known historically to benefit the eyes. And what they found was that with the acupuncture needle in, the same parts of the brain were activated as what they'd identified as that person's optical cortex or visual cortex, which is amazing, which is like phenomenal.
Proof.
There's a point in the foot that is stimulating the same parts of the brain that are responding to light. And then what was also really cool from my perspective is that they put a needle in again, but this time in a little different spot, in a spot that's not really on the acupuncture point. It's a couple of millimeters away.
Millimeters.
What they found was that the brain still lit up, but it didn't light up in any kind of concentrated form. So it was just sort of a random smattering of activity in the brain, and not nearly as focused and concentrated as when it was hitting the acupuncture point.
Oh my God.
And so there it's like evidence, like, yeah, you got to see someone who knows what the hell is happening.
Okay. Yes. All right. A few points to that. Points. First,
yeah.
How many points and meridians are there? How many are there?
There's a whole bunch. There's over 300 on the body. And then when you add in points in the ear or with different systems, some systems have a bunch of points in the hands or the feet, you know, you're looking at hundreds more. But of the ones that most acupuncturists would use, you'd say there'd be about 300 of them that we have to memorize.
Do you really memorize them, or are you just like winging it? Like, be honest, because it kind of seems like you're winging it, because like I'll come to you and I'll be like, James, my stomach hurts. And you'll be like, sure, no problem. And you'll stick like a needle at like my forehead for my stomach. And I'm like, what is he doing? Or like, I'm like, my left calf hurts. And you're like, sure thing. And you stick like a needle in my like right shoulder. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? But it seems to work, but it really seems so random.
Well, you know, you're leaving out something that I do in your treatments, which is, you know, stand in the corner of the room and get my blow dart and just kind of shoot them at the table. Wherever they land is kind of good enough for me. Obviously we don't do that. We have to learn it all. And it's amazing because there's each of the individual points have their own functions. And then there's also the combination. One point by itself is going to have one effect, but then they say when you combine it with these other points, you get, you know, the sort of compounding effect where, you know, ideally one and one make three, where you've got, you know, this sort of the potentiation power of using multiple needles together. And it's remarkable.
It is.
What's funny is that there's certain points that a lot of acupuncturists use all the time. And that's because they have such far-reaching effects. You know, every point has not just physical indications, but also emotional and spiritual indications as well. And that's where you can have a point that, you know, can address pain in the ribs and your digestive issues. It can treat headaches on top of the head, and it can also treat jealousy and, you know, like, I hate my parents.
Is that why every time we have sessions, and this has been true, I've only seen like two acupuncturists my entire life. And like I said, I've been getting acupuncture for 10 years. And I've been fortunate that both guys, you and the other one, have like almost been with me the entire session, not the whole time, but definitely a substantial amount of time talking to me. And I feel like I'm getting talk therapy too. Like you and I will chat about everything. And I, now that you're saying this, that certain points can treat like jealousy, are you picking up on what I'm saying? And if I'm expressing like, yo, this person's really pissing me off, or my puppy's so much work, are you like, oh, gotta hit the like calm down point? Like, this girl needs a chill pill. Is that why we chat so much?
Well, we chat because I just like hanging out with you.
Oh, okay.
but yeah, all that stuff gives us a lot of information. So when someone, you know, if your listeners see an acupuncturist, typically in that first visit, especially, we'll ask a bunch of questions, and people will be like, "Well, I came to see you because my shoulder hurts. Why are you asking me about my poop?"
Yeah.
And it's because all of those little details help paint a more complete picture of you. Right. And so, really, for someone who's a licensed acupuncturist, we're not just trying to treat the symptom. We're trying to get to the core of the problem. And the core of the problem is that there's some imbalance in you that's leading to some of the discomfort that you're having. And so if we just treat your shoulder without addressing the underlying tension that's leading into that, then we're kind of giving you like a half-assed treatment. Right. And my goal is to help correct the entire person so that you feel great and that your body is more resilient.
Amazing.
Now, not every acupuncturist will stay in the room and chat the whole time. That's how I like to run my practice. I only have one going at a time because there's value in that, in the conversation and in the talking and getting to know you and being able to adjust the treatment based on what comes up. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of acupuncturists where you come in, you say, "Hey, how's it going? This is the update." They put a couple needles in and then they leave the room, which has its own value because it's nice for the patient to rest and meditate on their own. But it's just a different setup and every practitioner is a little bit different.
Right. I mean, when you aren't there, I fall asleep in about 0.1 seconds and I am not a napper. I do not nap. I can't nap. But literally the moment you leave the room, I am out cold. Why? Did you do a sleepy point on my body or is that just because acupuncture is just, I mean, it's so relaxing. I mean, listen, if someone's listening and they're like, "Oh, yoga's relaxing." No, yoga has nothing on acupuncture. I mean, I leave an acupuncture session and I feel like I just yoga'd for 4 days. Like I am so flipping relaxed.
Isn't it?
Why? Is there any, like, can you give a why answer?
Yeah, the short answer is that, we're stimulating your body to find its happy place. And some people feel really energized and they're there and their mind is racing. I've had some artists who get some like amazing ideas when they're on the table.
Wow.
But a lot of people do get to that kind of, they fall asleep completely or they get to that kind of half awake, half sleep place. And I think it's because we're hitting points that are stimulating your body to self-correct. And so as part of that, the body knows best what you need. And a lot of people are sleep deprived or they need a little bit more rest. Where they need just to kind of like downshift a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so by creating a space and an environment that is supportive of you, then the body kind of takes over.
Oh, it's so true. Maybe, my body's like, okay, this girl needs to chill out. I'm always hyped up. So that's my time for my body to balance out by giving me that chill time.
Yeah, you said it, not me.
But you did it. You did the needle. You stimulated it. So is there a most popular point? You were saying that there's some points that like a lot of acupuncturists use because they're like pretty universal. I'm just curious, are there any like points that come to mind that like are the most common?
Yeah, for sure. There's the point that's a little bit below the knee that's on the outside of the shin. We call it stomach 36. And that's a huge point on the stomach meridian, but that it governs the immune system. It's great for fatigue. It's great for like overthinking, too much stress. It's sort of like some of your listeners may be familiar with the herb ginseng. It's sort of like the acupuncture equivalent of like great high quality ginseng.
Wow.
And so that's a point that I do a lot. The joke in acupuncture school is like, "Oh, did you do stomach 36 again?" Because it's like we do it on just about everybody because people need it, or people are strung out. And especially this time of year in New York, everyone's getting sick. And so anything to support the immune system is really, really helpful.
Oh, yes. I love it. Stomach 36. Thank you.
Yeah. And then the other one, there's one on the feet between the big toe and the second toe that can be very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a huge point for stress and for, headaches and some tension overall. So we do that point a lot.
You always do that one for me, no shock. And it's always very sore for me. That's the only point that's ever really kind of hurt. Is that
right?
An indication that I'm stressed out the wazoo?
Perhaps. Yeah. And that tells us that the energy is stuck there. And so, when it's sensitive, it's like, yeah, it's because the body really needs to move the energy there.
Mm.
And that point does so much that it's one that we use a lot.
So that's what acupuncture really is. It's moving energy to places where energy can be stuck. And when the energy's stuck, it can manifest on an emotional level or a physical level. Is that right? That's just like the most basic way of explaining it?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And just explain again why then it just seems so nonsensical that like a toe spot would help me calm down. Is that like is there a way of kind of explaining that? Because if I were guessing, that's probably the reason why most people are skeptical. They're like, I went to an acupuncturist and I told him, my stomach hurt and he put a needle in my toe. Like, what the hell is that? Is there anything you can say to those people to be like, no, but it really makes sense and this is why?
Yeah. I mean, it's, there's a few ways to go with that. I mean, one of them is to think about like, just think about it as like a road in your body. You know, if you were on a road in New York, and then, you know, it's the same road that can take you to Florida. And you're like, oh my God, I stayed on the same highway all the way down to Florida, you know? And it's like, it's kind of crazy, but yeah, it's all the same road. And if there was a traffic accident anywhere in front of you, it's going to back up. And if no one clears the accident in North Carolina, the traffic is going to back all the way up, you know, behind it. And so the needles are kind of a way of clearing that traffic accident.
I love that.
And if you think about, I mean, you can just sort of think about like nerves and arteries is a similar thing. Anyone who's had sciatic pain, where the pain is in the, you know, the problem is in the low back where the disc moves, but then they have it all the way down into their foot. You know, we're familiar with this idea of nerves and arteries and capillaries. And so, you know, that idea of a network in our body that connects up and down, left and right, shouldn't seem that far fetched. Mm-hmm. But yet you're right. There is that kind of magical element, to the acupuncture. The other thing that I like is, when you think about like someone, we'll stick with headaches. It's like, it's almost like there's just so much energy in the head that, there's this, one of the theories in acupuncture is when there's too much above, you have to activate below. And so by doing a bunch of points in the feet, it's almost like we're pulling the energy down and we're signaling to the body, hey, you're overloaded up top. We need to bring the energy back down towards the feet. And that has a way of like balancing out the scales.
That makes so much sense. All this makes so much sense. It really does. And you have to just, you know, let go of your skepticism and, you know, any preconceived notions and just give it a shot. I really couldn't be more of a supporter of acupuncture. It has completely changed my life. It revolutionized my digestive struggle. It took them away. I was struggling, you know, forever, and it calmed me down and it alleviated anxiety for me. I mean, I was told by a psychologist that I was bipolar, and I went to my acupuncturist before you, and I told him this in hysterics, and he said, F that, you're coming to see me 3 times a week for the next few months. And I did, and all of my anxiety attacks and stuff subsided, and this whole bullshit about being bipolar is thrown in the trash, and I literally didn't do anything other than get treatment for acupuncture. So like, it works on so many different levels. It's treated my dad's frozen shoulder. I mean, do you have any, you know, one or two like not miraculous because it's real, but like amazing healing stories that you want to share?
Yeah. You know, for me, it's, you hit on something that I am really passionate about, which is, you know, Western medicine is great. I, you know, it certainly has its place. It's phenomenal at keeping people alive. But when it comes to living really, really well, it leaves a lot to be desired. And, you know, especially one of the benefits of seeing an acupuncturist, is we're going to take a look at people through our own lenses. And so we're going to give you our own diagnosis, and it may be, you know, sort of chi stagnation or blood stagnation, or there's too much energy above, not enough below, and some of these sort of crazy sounding things. But the point there is that, you know, it doesn't matter if you come in and you say you're bipolar or schizophrenic, or you have anxiety, or you're depressed or whatever. We're going to take a look at you with fresh eyes. We're going to look at you through a totally different lens. And so you're not going to be beholden to that diagnosis from the Western perspective. And that's where we have a lot of sort of hope and optimism that things can shift. Mm. Because unlike Western medicine, where they give you a diagnosis and a label and then usually a corresponding prescription or six, it's really difficult to have someone remove a diagnosis. from the Western perspective, because of the way the system's set up with malpractice insurance and liability. No doctor wants to take responsibility for removing a diagnosis once one's already been given. And so, you know, people have they're subject to that medical hexing. And that's where if you see an acupuncturist, they're not going to remove a diagnosis of like bipolar. Well, we're not even going to look at you in terms of that.
We're going to define
you in terms of our own way.
Right.
And then we're going to give you treatments based on what we're finding. And lo and behold, yeah, maybe your thyroid condition goes away. Maybe your bipolar symptoms totally go away. And you know, isn't that interesting? Because we've just supported your body to find its happy place.
Totally.
You know, I had a patient who was diagnosed with something called PCOS, this polycystic ovarian problem, and it's it can make getting pregnant very, very difficult. And she came to see me, and she says, you know, we really wanted to get pregnant, but I was diagnosed with this PCOS, and I just need treatment for that, and you know, we'll just see what happens. And I treated her 3 times, and then she canceled 3 times in 3 weeks, or, you know, once a week for 3 weeks, and then she canceled the appointment. And she didn't reschedule. And I was like, oh, I wonder what's happening there. Cause we had talked about, you know, a 3 month kind of treatment plan. Mm-hmm. And so I called her up and I was like, hey, what's going on? And she goes, well, you may not believe this, but I'm pregnant.
Oh my God.
And so
chills.
That was amazing. It was amazing, you know? And she came in, we thought, you know, we were treating the one thing, and some of the points are similar if you're treating just straight up infertility, but you know, it was much more about supporting her body to find its good place, to move that energy that was stuck in the uterus and in the ovaries. And then all of a sudden she got pregnant. It was amazing.
I love that, the way that you said that. It's about helping the body find its happy place.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's exact. I mean, that's it. Boom.
That's it.
Mic drop. Like, that's it. And I mean, doesn't everybody want their bodies to find their happy place? Yeah.
Yeah.
F yeah. Yeah. Okay. So now here's the big problem, that there are a lot of bogus acupuncturists out there. And I think it's messed up, and it's a real big problem, because, you know, I had a client who I was like, listen, she has digestive issues and anxiety stuff. And I was like, go see an acupuncturist. Just do it for me. Just go. Like, it changed my life. I'm sure it'll change yours. And she goes, you know, and she got a really whack kind of guy. Like, he didn't look at her as a whole. He basically just swooped her in and said, you know what your problem is? You're eating too many pesticides. She doesn't even eat any processed food. She's a very strict vegan, and that could not have been a more improper thing to say to her. And he just threw a ton of supplements at her, and she was so upset and gave it a few shots, but then was just like, no, I can't do this. I've never had an experience like that. Do you have any tips for how people can like weed through the acupuncturists out there and not find some BS one?
Yeah, I'm sorry your friend had that experience. It's just like any other field, you know, there's all sorts of practitioners, and obviously word of mouth is a great way to find somebody, you know, if your friends have been to somebody that they like, and that kind of referral is ideal. Mm. You know, I always say trust your instincts, you know, when you're checking someone out, or if you go to the office, if it just doesn't feel right, then you know, stick it out, but maybe don't come back.
Yeah.
And see how it goes. The much bigger concern facing the acupuncture world right now is the sort of presence of something called dry needling or medical acupuncture. And now this is acupuncture that's being done by people who have way less training than me. And so these are medical doctors or physical therapists who take a weekend course and in acupuncture, and all of a sudden they're advertising doing medical acupuncture, or physical therapists are doing what's called dry needling.
Oh.
And it's a huge affront to everything that I've done, because my training was, I did my undergraduate work at Stanford University, and then it's a 4-year master's program beyond that. So I spent an extra 3,500 hours studying with the sole intention of being an acupuncturist and an herbalist.
Right.
And so when you have these other professions, who's, quite frankly, their lobbyists are really strong, and they've been able to force some of these measures through in some states where they could, you know, get this stuff passed, where they're like, yeah, I'm a doctor and I'm doing acupuncture now, but they've only studied it for 50 or 100 hours.
Oh my God.
Because there you're missing out on the beauty of what I just talked about, of like being able to get an entirely new diagnosis, an entirely new assessment based on the 5,000 year tradition of this beautiful medicine. And there you get someone who's like, oh, your shoulder hurts. All right, I'll stick a bunch of needles in your shoulder and then like, you know, leave the room.
Oh, no.
Later. And so, you know, people are like, well, I tried acupuncture. It's like, well, did you see a board certified, you know, state licensed acupuncturist? Or did you see an MD who's doing medical acupuncture or a physical therapist who's doing dry needling? Because the needles are the same, but the whole effect and the treatment and everything is just completely different. So wow. I would encourage people, you know, you could do certainly Google searches, or you can go to your state, the state license, and see, you know, who's been licensed in your area, and go that way.
What's that second school that you did, after Stanford, the real, like the acupuncture school?
Yeah. I went to a school called Pacific College of Oriental Medicine.
That's like the big one, isn't it?
It's one of them. They have three campuses. So they have the campus here in New York. I went to the campus in San Diego, and I used to, when I graduated, I was teaching and supervising at the clinic at their campus in Chicago.
So I would say, I mean, just a nice rule of thumb is maybe to see if a local acupuncturist for you has also graduated from that school, which I'll link in the show notes. I feel like, because the other acupuncturist I was with for a long time also was a graduate of the New York branch, I guess, of that school.
Oh, perfect.
So I kind of feel like that's a really good rule of thumb.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and when I'm looking for an acupuncturist for someone in another city, that's what I look for, because at the very least, I know that they've gone to that school. Mm. You know, and I know what they've had to do. But you know, are they gonna? You could certainly run into someone who prioritizes supplements over acupuncture, or someone who does some like other type of body work instead of the needling. And you know, everyone's got their own sort of styles and how they like it, and so that can lead to some phenomenal diversity in treatment. I mean, even my girlfriend last night, she's in Miami. She went and saw this other acupuncturist there, and she was saying last night, she was like, you know. She goes, it's kind of crazy that you guys are called the same thing, because you both use needles, but the treatment was so different.
Wow.
And that's just how it goes. And that, like I said, it can lead to some amazing diversity. But so if you don't like, you know, the experience with one, like, don't say that acupuncture wasn't good for you. Just find somebody else and maybe you'll have a totally different experience.
I mean, not to be weird, but it's kind of like dating. Like, you don't just go on a date and love everybody you date. Like, you have to find the right one. And I totally. Think with acupuncture, the goal is to find somebody that cares for you as a human being and wants to put in the effort to uncover all that stuff that goes beyond a traditional diagnosis. And you know, the fact that you stay in the room and you talk to me and I see you with other patients, just so attentive and so caring. And, you know, you checked, the first time I saw you, you texted me a few days later and you're like, how are you doing? How'd the treatment go? I mean, that's above and beyond. And I mean, not to just toot your own horn. I mean, or, you know, you're incredible. And I'm so, so, so grateful that I found you. You've really improved my life and I'm so lucky. But I feel that I just hope that other people can find a you where they live. Or if you live in near New York, come hang out with James in Williamsburg. Right. Or in Miami, right? Don't you still have a practice there too?
Yeah, South Beach, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yep. There you go, guys. So if you're in anywhere around those areas, go find James. He will be the best thing that's ever happened to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's nice because it's, you know, part of it is like, let's just try to restore some humanity, you know, some humanity and dignity in healthcare. And I think that that's one of the benefits of, you know, a good acupuncture session where someone's taking a holistic look at you. And it's like, you know, we're treating you as a person, not a robot or a machine that's got a faulty part. Mm. You know, it's like, what is the context in which all this is happening?
Right. Again, find your happy place. I know that this is kind of a, not a real question, but I want to ask you anyway. How many sessions do people typically need to be fixed? I know that the answer is there is no. Okay. Yeah.
And that's a short answer, but typically, you know, like if you're doing acupuncture, it's really nice to start off, you know, a treatment like once or twice a week, for 8 to 10 visits. Like in China, that's how they do it. They come in, at least the hospital I worked in, someone would come in the first visit, they'd get a thorough intake and evaluation. And then, they would be told to come back like every day, every other day, or every third day. And nobody would even really ask them what the progress is until they had 8 or 10 visits, because they know that it can take time, for some of these changes to happen.
Yeah.
So much of like how many treatments does somebody need is also dependent on what's happening when they're not in the treatment room. You know, if you're at a job that's really stressful, if your home life is super toxic, if you're eating crappy food, if you're not exercising, you know, all of these things make it difficult for the change that we've initiated in the treatment room to be sustained. And so it can take a while to, you know, we're trying to like unblock that stuck energy or find new grooves for your energy to flow so that you can feel good. And if you keep going home where someone's like not being very supportive, or you feel that tension, or, you know, in-laws are calling, or your kids are being annoying or whatever, and that energy gets stuck again, it's going to take some more work to kind of work through all that.
Wow. I never thought about that. Cause with me, I feel treatments immediately, but A, I've been getting acupuncture for 10 years, and B, you know, I eat a really clean diet and have a really healthy lifestyle. So I guess if that's not the case, you're right. It's going to take more oomph to clear everything out.
Totally. And you're mindful. I mean, you know, it's like you're mindful. You're aware of your body. You're sensitive to what's going on. And some people have just become so cerebral and so in their head and so sort of attached to like doing what they think they should be doing that they've lost touch with what their body is actually saying.
Right.
And so some people, they may not even be aware of some subtle changes.
Yeah. Well, acupuncture really helps with that. Get more aware of your body and the connection, you know, how everything connects to each other and how your mind fits in. So is acupuncture for everyone? Is it safe for kids? I mean, I know there's like pets. Don't they do animal acupuncture?
Exactly. And that's like, so that's the case where when people are like, acupuncture is a placebo. Like, you know, they look at
I like that voice.
That's how we look at, you know, you look at acupuncture for horses and for dogs and for cats. And you can see right away that like range of motion improves, their pain levels decrease. And, you know, theoretically a horse or a dog doesn't know what's happening to it. It's not invested in like proving that acupuncture works.
They're just responding to it.
And so, yeah.
So there you go, naysayers. Yeah, it can't be a placebo if it's working on animals.
Totally.
And, but is it safe for kids too?
Yeah, so you can do acupuncture like on newborns all the way up to, you know, hospice care and to the moment, you know, where people are passing over. Mm-hmm. I don't treat a lot of kids, but there are plenty of acupuncturists who specialize in pediatrics.
Oh, wow.
And if a child can't sit still, they'll use other techniques to stimulate the point. So instead of needles, maybe they have like some tools that are like acupressure tools. And then there's a device that, you know, we jokingly call the tickle machine. It's a little electric stim that activates some of the points that way.
How cute. That sounds so nice.
It's acupuncture is really phenomenal for things like ADD, ADHD for these kids in school.
Wow.
So it's, you know, I think it's great.
Good to know. And can you needle yourself? I mean, not me, but you.
Yeah, for sure. If I can reach the points, I could do it. It's hard for me to treat like my low back, but I'll do some points on the belly and the chest. Sometimes I'll do that stomach 36 point. I prefer to just go see someone else to get treated. But certainly if I, you know, if I haven't been able to get there, or if I feel something coming up, I can do it.
Jealous. So, wish I could needle myself.
Awfully personal question.
Have you ever left a needle in someone by mistake?
Yeah. I'd be lying if I said I did.
Oh, no. Really?
I think every acupuncturist.
Oh, my God. Has. What happens? Like, they call you later. They're like, dude, I still have a needle in my forehead? Or
yeah. This was actually the very first time I had been out of school for, I don't know, like a month or two. I was just all stressed out starting a practice and everything. And I was treating this one woman and like, there's like core, like the way you can think about a treatment too, is there's like the core needles, which is like the entree. And then sometimes you like add an extra point or two. That's like a bit of a garnish. Usually if someone has forgotten a needle, it's because it was sort of like an add on, or it was like tucked in under like some clothes and they just forgot. and so I was treating this woman and then this one time I did a point on her chest that like it was underneath her shirt. And I just totally forgot that it was there. And she came back the next week and she goes, you know, you left a needle in me. And I just turned bright red and I was so embarrassed.
My God.
I was like, I'm so sorry. And she was like, I was so happy. She's like, I've been coming in here to see you like every week. And my husband is always like, what does the needle look like? What does the needle look like? I always wanted to ask you, if I could take a needle home, but I figured that you would say no. So I just didn't want to do it. And she's like, and then I used my mind control and you left one in, and I had one to show him.
That is amazing. Oh my God. So everything happens for a reason. She manifested it.
Totally.
It was totally meant to be for her. That is so funny. I love
but
that.
usually it happens. Like, I mean, you hear stories and I hear stories of people that have left needles in. Usually it happens when people have like three or four treatment rooms going at once and they're like bouncing back and forth. Or if there's like an assistant who's supposed to take the needles out, because if the assistant wasn't in there when the needles were going in, they may not see,
garnishes.
Know, they try to keep the lights like, you know, not so bright. And
yeah.
Yeah. But it, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just sloppy. Like you shouldn't do it, but it does.
Yeah.
It's like, happened. Every acupuncturist I know it's happened.
Yeah. To. It's like when you buy clothes and they leave the stupid security tag on.
Totally.
Just like that. That's so funny. So you've needled some famous people. I don't know if we can drop any names, but I think Dwayne Wade. Yeah. Okay. He's one.
D-Wade. Yeah.
Do you ever get nervous that you're going to mess up these really important people? Like, what if you screwed with his game?
Yeah.
I'd be nervous.
Yeah. I wasn't so nervous about messing him up. But you know, it's just like I feel about anybody, any patient. Like I want them to feel better like right away.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the thing that I'm sort of get concerned about is like, are they going to like just not feel anything, you know, or like, are they going to be okay with a treatment plan that's going to take 4, 6, or 8 treatments before they may get the change that they want? But I've been fortunate that, you know, the celebrities that I have worked on, they've responded really well, and you know they seem to like me, and they come back, and you know it's really nice.
How could you not?
Yeah.
You're awesome.
It's an interesting thing, and you know I prefer it. I mean, it's fun treating celebrities, but it's better if it's almost more fun to treat a celebrity that I don't know much about.
Yeah.
Then I can treat them sort of more open. You know, just sort of see them more clearly for who they are in that moment,
right,
rather than, you know, things that I've heard before.
Or things you read in the tabloids. Hey, People Magazine said this about you. I'm sure is upsetting you.
Yeah, totally.
I saw that tweet. I'm sure that's sinking in and causing some blockage.
Right.
Cool. Well, I promise we'll wrap it up soon. We're almost done. I'm sure you have people to needle. I wanted to ask you just, is there... Like what is, if you had to say the most common thing you treat, what would that be? The most common ailment that people come to you for?
Yeah, for me, it's probably split between stress and pain. And a lot of times there's overlap. You know, people get stressed out and they realize that their headaches or their jaw pain or their, you know, irritable bowel pain, all that gets worse when they're stressed. And so the two are really linked, and you know, any of your listeners that have been stressed out will, you know the connection. And at the same time, like those who have like hit by a car or had a sports injury where they couldn't exercise, that lack of movement can also lead to internalizing stress. And so those would be the big things.
Oh, well, that is a perfect segue to ask you about your own book that you've written, which is all about stress. Tell us about your book.
Yeah. So the book Unlearning Stress, it's available on Amazon. And the book is really an expression of, it's me putting things down, that I talk to my clients about all the time. And so, we cover deep breathing, meditation, some of what the stress response is. One of my favorite chapters in there is the chapter on gratitude, because when you can get to a place where you can express gratitude and thanks, even for the hard stuff, then you've really achieved like the next level of being where, we're not super reactive. When you do have sensation or when there is something uncomfortable or there's some stress that comes in, when we can be thankful for it because it's teaching us something, it's showing us something about how we are, then the stress doesn't win. You know, we're not as reactive. And that's really sort of a cornerstone to transformation. And so the book covers that. At the end of each chapter is a whole bunch of resources to take, any of those concepts that we talked about deeper. And, yeah, I think it's pretty good.
It's phenomenal. And it's like, you're just chilling with us, chatting. You know, it's so like it's casually written, you know, there's like slang in it. It's very personal. It's like you and I are just shooting the shit, having fun, you know, and you're informing me on everything about stress. So it's a short read. It's like not that thick of a book, but it's so impactful. And it's just perfect that you said that stress is the most common thing that you treat because stress F's up everything. You know, stress will manifest in so many different ways in our body and in our life. So to unlearn it and to diffuse it, nothing can help us thrive more.
Totally. Totally. You know, and then we can get out of that stress cycle. When you get out of that fight or flight, like, oh my God, my life is like, I'm perceiving threats all around me. Then you get to that next level of saying, well, what am I living for? What do I really want in my life? And that to me is like, you know, some of the most rewarding transformations that I've seen in my office is when people start to develop that deeper sense of purpose. And then you can start to express yourself clearly as a sort of unified force in alignment with your purpose, you know, to be kind or to be compassionate, to be energetic, and everything that you're doing starts to filter through this lens of your purpose statement. And so you're like, well, if I eat this slice of pizza, is that going to help me be more energetic? Or if I go to lunch with my best friend, is that going to help me be more energetic? Or if I exercise versus, you know, watching some TV show for an hour, you know, and then you start to get this like more fuller expression of you living your destiny, which like when you're in that place, I mean, that's awesome.
I know. And I mean, I know this sounds so just like, how is this related to acupuncture? But that's what acupuncture does. It really helps you remove the blocks on both a physical level, but also on an emotional level. And I mean, I just, there's not much more I can say other than acupuncture is one of the greatest gifts to this planet and to man. And I think if you haven't tried it, any single person can benefit from it in some really dramatic way.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And Chinese medicine has, they have a very specific or very, very narrow view of what's considered optimal health. And so even for people who are like, oh, I have nothing wrong with me. It's not that it's wrong, but you know, chances are there is something that's going to be out of balance.
Yes.
From what Chinese medicine would say is like optimal health. Like for instance, the easy one is like, when you go to sleep, when you decide it's time to go to bed, you should really be asleep within 5, maybe 10 minutes. Mm. And if it's taking you longer than that to fall asleep, like that's a problem.
Right.
You know, and there's some people who are like, oh, it takes me a half hour, an hour and a half to go to sleep. Like that's a sign of imbalance. You know,
right.
We should to you know, treat that.
Right. We don't even know how much better it can be. Or maybe they're not like, oh, I have sleep problems, but like, yo, you could be falling asleep in 5 minutes. Like life could be even better. So open mind is the name of the game, and moving the energy is the second name of the game. And
yeah. So find your happy place.
Find the happy place. So speaking of happy places, I'm wondering if you have a favorite restaurant where you get plant party dishes, really veggie friendly meals.
Ooh. Where do I go? I like to go to Mogador.
Oh, it's like right near the office.
Yeah. So I go there and then, well, you saw me the other day is eating a nice lunch at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably the standard answer for all those things.
No, and what's your favorite plant to eat?
My favorite, well, lately I'm riding the kale train. So
you how know. Cliche.
I know. Sorry.
What's your favorite way to eat it?
I like it just in a salad. Mm. With I like to eat things pretty plainly. So, you know, oil, salt, and pepper.
Yeah, that sounds good. And do you have a book other than your own that's really helped you be healthier and happier in some way?
Early on, there was a book that I read on mindfulness called Full Catastrophe Living by John Kabat-Zinn. He's really one of the pioneers of the mindfulness movement here in the U.S. And his book, Full Catastrophe Living, I think is really thorough and it's pretty amazing.
Oh, cool.
He also wrote the book, Wherever You Go, There You Are. I think that one was a little more commercially popular, but
I've heard of that.
Full Catastrophe Living, I think is an excellent read.
Ooh, I'm excited. I haven't read it. I look forward to that. I'm definitely adding that to my Amazon list.
Heyo.
Well, James, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I love talking to you. I love acupuncture. I now feel like I need to come over there real soon and get some needles up in my bod. thank you for everything. Where can everybody go to find more about you?
Yeah, you can go to my website, James E. Rohr, that's ROHR.com. That'll sort of give you a look at all of the stuff that I'm involved in beyond just the actual acupuncture practice.
Yeah, there's a lot more to you than just the needles.
Yeah, totally. And then if someone's in New York and wants a treatment, acupuncturewilliamsburg.com will get you to the office.
Do it, everybody. Do it. Even if you're visiting New York, you're being a tourist, you're seeing Times Square and a Broadway show, pop into Williamsburg. Say hi to me and James, and he'll do some acupuncture, and I'll meet you for a matcha or something right up the street from him.
Amazing.
All right. Well, thank you so, so much, and I will see you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. As James said, if you're waking up with the thought, if only blank would feel better, then the quality of my life would improve significantly, chances are acupuncture can be a treatment to whatever that blank is. So I hope you're feeling open to giving it a real shot. And don't worry, it won't hurt you like a shot does. If you can think of one other person who might benefit from this show in their ears, share it with them. And you can find all the notes from this episode, plus so much more that makes healthy living not suck, over at partyinmyplants.com/11.